May the Lord help us to commence our worship today with hymn number 917, 917. Cease, O believer, cease to mourn. Return unto thy rest, return. Why should thy sorrow swell? Though deep distress thy steps attend, thy warfare shall in triumph end. With thee it shall go well. Hymn number 917. Reading from God's holy word is two psalms, psalm numbers 42 and 43. Psalm 42 and psalm 43. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites, from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God my rock, Why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, Where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. For thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Amen. The Lord bless his holy word to us. Now I'll ask Andrew to pray, please.
Almighty, eternal, ever merciful Lord God, creator of the heavens and the earth, do now humble our hearts as we come before thee once more on thy day, the first day of another week. Oh, we pray, Lord, now that thou wilt truly come and grant us each that right reverence in our hearts as we come before thee. O Lord, do impress upon our minds that we come to an almighty God, a holy God that cannot look upon sin with any degree of allowance. And Lord, we come to thee as sin-stained sinners that cannot keep ourselves from sin. Oh, but Lord, we do pray thee that we might have our eyes lifted by faith to plead the mercy and the love of God through Jesus Christ, and that we may be able to come to thee now as a holy God, pleading the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, we do pray thee then, Lord, that thou wilt draw our hearts and our minds now up above the things of time, and that, Lord, thou wilt fix them on thee, on things above. And help us, Lord, as we have come here this morning, to truly have that desire in our hearts to worship thee, to honour and to glorify thy great, thy holy name. Lord, we do pray thee then that thou wilt come now and touch each of our hearts, and grant, Lord, that we may each have that desire that we have just read in the psalm. Lord, that our hearts truly might pant after thee, that they might thirst after thee. O Lord, how these things search our hearts, and we pray that they might search our hearts by the Holy Spirit shining within us. Lord, do examine us in the light of thy word, we pray. Do we have this morning that thirsting after thee, that true hunger and thirst after righteousness, after that knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? O Lord, search our hearts, we pray, and do put that thirst and put that hunger within us, if it is not there, we pray thee. Oh, that, Lord, we might be able to come into thy gates with thanksgiving and into thy courts with praise. Oh, Lord, how we have to confess our utter, our complete need of the Holy Spirit constantly, and especially as we come into thy house to lift our hearts and help us to seek to worship thee. Lord, we do pray thee then that thou wilt have mercy upon us here this morning. Lord, as we do not have one of thy ministers with us, we pray that thou wilt speak to us through thy word, through the hymns that we sing, through that sermon we hope to hear read to us. Help our deacon in reading, we pray thee. And O Lord, do bless those truths spoken years ago. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt help us each to listen. Lord, on a hot day, we pray that thou wilt give us that concentration, that, Lord, thou wilt keep us from sleepiness. Keep us, Lord, from a cold, dead, hard heart. Lord, how we are utterly dependent on thee to bless and to apply thy truth to our hearts. Lord, we confess how easy it is for us to come and go and nothing be done, nothing be felt. O Lord, we have to prove the evils and the hardness of our hearts. We have to prove how distracted they can become. And so, Lord, we pray this morning that we might each know and feel thy presence working within us. We thank thee, Lord, that we have thy promise that where two or three are gathered together, then, Lord, thou art in the midst of them. And so we pray, Lord, that we may feel it and know it here this morning, that, Lord, there may be some good thing done in our souls. And so, Lord, thou knowest how each one of us has come this morning. Lord, and we do pray that where there are those that have come seeking thee, earnestly seeking thee, that thou wilt hear their cries and that thou wilt bless them. And that, Lord, thou wilt grant that true favour of knowing sin forgiven and peace with God through Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that where there are those that may have come in troubled, cast down, full of cares and concerns and worries about life maybe, health. Oh, we pray, Lord, that thou wilt be with them and appear for them and suit and bless thy word to them. Oh, Lord, they may have come in like the psalm we have read again, those that are cast down, those that are troubled, maybe by circumstance, maybe by sin. Oh, we do pray, though, that, Lord, thou wilt enable them to hope in God, and that they may truly prove that thou art their salvation, that, Lord, thou wilt appear for each one in the pathway that they walk here below and in their souls. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt sanctify the pathway of life to us each. We all have different pathways here this morning, different trials, different concerns, different joys, different blessings. And so, Lord, we pray that these things may be sanctified to us, that they may be blessed to us, and that the pathway we walk may truly serve to draw us closer, closer to thyself, that we may have ever more dependence on thee, and that, Lord, we may have ever more cause to raise those Ebenezers to thy praise and to thy glory for thy help as we live our lives. And, Lord, may our lives truly be a preparation for eternity. And, Lord, do grant that we may each truly have it impressed upon us that one day our lives will end and that we will stand before that judgment seat of Christ, and that we have that earnest need, that desperate need, Lord, to be made ready while we live our lives below, while there is yet time. Oh, we plead, Lord, that thou wilt make each and every one of us, if it is thy will, ready for that day, so that we can stand before thee with our sin washed away by the precious blood of Christ, clothed in the glorious robe of righteousness, stand before thee perfect in Christ Jesus. O Lord, we do pray thee that thou wilt grant we may each have that exercise stirred up in our hearts constantly, that we are made ready for eternity. And grant us each, Lord, that we may truly consider also, Lord, those truths that we have heard over the last few sermons. Lord, that purpose for our life. Lord, what is it? Oh, we pray that thou wilt grant us each that examination of our hearts, that we may truly desire to live to thy honour and to thy glory. Lord, we confess that we live in a sin-cursed, atheistic, materialistic society. And how often, Lord, those things we see around us can draw our hearts away, sometimes imperceptibly, and cause that hardening to the things of God, to thy word. Oh, how we need thee, Lord, to keep us in this day in which we live. We have so many blessings, Lord, and we would ever desire to be truly thankful for those, never to take them for granted. We are surrounded with blessings, temporally, materially, in ways that many, many generations in this nation have never known. Many around the world today do not know. Yet, Lord, we pray that we might be given that enabling and that wisdom to keep all these things in their right places, to thank thee for thy gifts, but to ever acknowledge where they come from. And, Lord, may they never draw us further from thee and draw us into the world and the pleasures of it. Oh, then, Lord, we do pray that thou wilt help us each as we live our lives. Lord, we read of that narrow way that leadeth unto life. And truly, Lord, we prove it is a narrow way. Oh, and Lord, we prove how prone we are to start aside, one way or the other, and how we have that great need to be kept, to be put in that narrow way, and to be kept in that narrow way. Oh, do grant that great blessing then for us each. Oh, Lord, we pray. And oh, do grant us, Lord, each that true stirring up in the things of God. For, Lord, we confess again with such a relatively comfortable life that many of us have, how easy it is to settle down. Oh, Lord, we do pray thee that thou wilt stir us each up, that, Lord, we may not be left in that sleepy state to just go on through life with a form of religion, with all the traditions, coming and going from thy house, and yet knowing nothing of the reality of the almighty work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. Lord, do grant it, we pray thee. Oh, do work mightily among us here as a church and a congregation, and in each church, Lord, where thy name is faithfully worshipped, where there is that desire to honour and glorify thee. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt grant that reviving, that building up again, that true blessing, that work of the Holy Spirit. For Lord, that is what we need. That is what we depend upon. Oh, do grant it here, Lord. Do truly and abundantly bless us. Bless our congregation, Lord. Oh, we do pray that thou wilt truly set souls at liberty to know that sweet assurance that they are thine, that thou art theirs. And then, Lord, enable them to desire to glorify and honour thy name, to walk in thy ways. And, Lord, to remember thee around that table, that Lord's Supper, that sacred place, that sacred ordinance for thy church. Oh, may we each truly value it, and may we each have that real desire to remember thee, remember thy sufferings, remember the cost of our salvation. Oh, Lord, do work that mighty work, then we pray thee here amongst us. And Lord, as we say, in each and every church, that there might be that building up, that restoring, that rebuilding again. Lord, we do pray then for all of thy ministers today that are preaching around this nation and across the world. We do pray that thou wilt attend the ministry with the power of the Holy Spirit, that souls may be quickened, blessed, fed, and watered, that thy church may be strengthened. Be with each one then, we do pray thee, and bless all of thy people. Lord, we think of those that maybe meet as twos and threes. We think of those of thy people around the world that on this Lord's Day maybe live in war zones, may live in fear of persecution, may live in hunger, in famine. Lord, so many of thy people that are in such difficult circumstances that at this time we cannot imagine. Oh, we do pray that thou wilt remember them and bless thy one true church throughout this world, Lord, today. And do build up and do strengthen thy church. And where it is thy will, Lord, we pray that thou wilt alleviate the needs, alleviate the temporal needs, Lord, of those that may be in famine, in war, that may be in difficult circumstances, that may suffer loss. O Lord, help us to ever pray for thy people, thy church. And O Lord, do remember each of us then here. We pray especially again this morning for the children and for the younger ones as they grow up in this difficult world. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt work in their hearts while they're young, that thou wilt keep them from all the temptations that surround them, so many. Lord, we do pray thee that thou wilt have mercy upon them. Guide and direct those of us that are parents, grandparents, friends and relatives. Lord, to be that good example, that right example. Oh, and to be a witness, Lord, of what we believe. Our experience of thy blessing in our hearts. Help us, Lord, we pray thee, to teach them. Oh, Lord, we pray that thou wilt truly work for them and in them, and provide for their every need as they grow up. And Lord, we pray thy mercy upon us as a nation. O Lord, with our new government, there are many things that concern us. And Lord, we do pray that thou wilt overrule and have mercy upon us. Lord, we pray for any in Parliament that may truly fear thy name. We pray that thou wilt help them to be a witness of what they believe, and a force for good, as enabled by thee. And we pray, Lord, that thou wilt restrain those that may not have thy fear, that may be hostile to thy word and thy ways, that, Lord, seem intent at times on overturning many of those things that are good and right. Oh, Lord, we do pray that thou wilt restrain the hearts of our leaders, our MPs, and that, Lord, thou wilt yet have mercy upon us as a nation. Do give us, Lord, that true prayer and exercise for it, and do raise us up more men and women in positions of responsibility and authority that truly have thy fear in their hearts. O, do work for us then in mercy, we pray thee. Remember our royal family, our king, his family, we pray thee. O Lord, those circumstances he finds himself in, with a fractured family, those difficulties he faces with his own health. O, we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt Use the things that some in our royal family have gone through of late, Lord, to remind them that they are accountable to thee, that their lives will end despite the privileges, the positions they may be in, and that, Lord, these things may be for their soul's eternal good, if it could be thy will. Lord, we long to see our royal family being a right witness and a right example. Oh, we pray, help them, Lord, to do so. Do then now, Lord, have mercy upon us. Make up in forgiving, Lord, what we have forgotten to ask thee. Do forgive all that we may have asked amiss. Do remember each who may feel left out, each who may feel lonely, cast down, tried and tempted this morning. Bless them, lift them up. And, O Lord, we pray that we may truly know thy blessing and presence. Do forgive our every sin, we ask in that precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let us now sing hymn number 101. 101. Does conscience lay a guilty charge, and Moses much condemn, and bring in bills exceeding large? Let Jesus answer them. Hymn 101. try and read to you a sermon preached by Mr. Coville in 1878. And the words of the text you will find in the Gospel according to John, chapter 14, and verse 1. John chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. The scriptures declare that man is born unto trouble, as the sparks fly upward. But then there is the sorrow of the world that worketh death. No real good comes out of that. I will venture to say there is not one before me this morning who has not got something they would like to have removed, some thorn, some briar, something they would like to be free from. The great thing is to have that trouble which sends us to God. It is that which will end well. When Herod and the people of Jerusalem heard of the birth of Jesus, they were troubled, it is said. But it did not send them after the Son of God. An evil spirit from God troubled Saul, but he went to the witch to find some comfort. There is a trouble that ends well. David says, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all his trouble. The prophet Jeremiah says, alas, for that day is great, so that there is none like it. It is the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. God saith to comfort those people who are troubled in the way that my text would speak about, they shall not bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. So it will end well. Now, what is that trouble which will end well? It is soul trouble. It is that trouble which the world is ignorant of. As the scripture says, the wicked are not in trouble like other men. There is a trouble that is peculiar to God's elect, to those who are bound for heaven, which they feel when the Blessed Spirit convinces them of their sin. That is Jacob's trouble. There is no trouble like soul trouble. These souls know something of what David says. The pains of death kept hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. If yours is a right trouble, it will bring you where it brought David. Then called I on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Where does your trouble take you to? If it is a trouble that will end well, I am persuaded that it will bring you here. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. What is the sequel? He delivered them out of their distresses. He takes his own time, where, when, and how. But then the thing is certain. When God the Holy Ghost really convinces a man of sin, he feels and finds sin to be sin, an evil, cursed, damnable thing that exposes him to the vengeance of God and the righteous judgment of the Most High. This makes him cry out indeed, "What shall I do to be saved?" How he sees and feels one thing is needful, he does indeed. Now he is fearful. You will never be right for the devil or your unbelief for an hour. They will either tell you that you have not been in trouble enough, or else your sins are too many. You will never be right only as God shines in your heart and tells you that you are right. Whatever fears you may have about being too great a sinner, let not your heart be troubled. I will grant that your sins may be as many as the hairs of your head in your feelings. I will grant there is not a worse sinner, not such a vile wretch in all this parish. If all your filth and guilt was exposed, you would stand head and shoulders above everyone else as a vile wretch. Yet let not your heart be troubled. There is more virtue in the blood of the Son of God to cleanse than guilt in your sins to damn you. Think what the blood of Christ can buy. Invaluable blood. John might indeed cry out as he saw the darling of heaven, the Saviour of sinners, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." What is thy sin to his great grace that cancels all the sum? For him there's ne'er too hard a case, past, present, or to come. When the Holy Ghost would speak of what our sins are and what the Son of God can do, he says, "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." God says, "I have opened a fountain for sin and uncleanness. Therefore, poor troubled heart, hearken to what the Son of God declares. I came to seek and to save them that are lost." If you are one of those he came to save, and your sins really trouble you, press you down, squeeze you, and bring such fears, terror, and trouble into your soul respecting your dying day, you will surely end well. It is said in Scripture, their soul is melted because of trouble. Does your heart melt, break, and soften under it? Does sin make your heart bleed and make the tears run out of your eyes by the feelings of your heart? Yes, it does, say you. Blessed be God. He bottles those tears of yours. You may depend upon it. He listens to your cry. Though you may be tossed up and down because of trouble, he will bring you to your desired haven. You will say one of these days, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." If it is the teaching of the blessed Spirit in your soul that is causing your trouble and anguish, I will tell you how it works in your heart. How do you know, say you? I know right well it is in this way. They poured out a prayer when thy chastening was upon them. You will pour it out to God. You will want no book to teach you. The words of your mouth will be the feelings of your heart. However deep the plague and sore may be on account of your many sins, God help you to remember that where sin abounded, grace does much more abound. What a good word that was once to me. It opened up to me in this way. My sins, though many, were all the sins of a creature. But the merit, grace, sufferings, and blood of the Son of God were infinite. Therefore, though my sins were as the sand on the seashore, his blood was the blood of the Son of God. Therefore, it overcame all my sins and sank them like a stone in the mighty waters. May you feel indeed the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth from all sin. Through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, that all that believe might be justified freely from all things from which they could not be justified by the law of Moses. O poor troubled heart, my text says, let not your heart be troubled. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So sinners can say, and none but they, how precious is the Saviour. Lord Jesus, on thee I venture to call. O look upon me, the vilest of all. For whom didst thou languish and bleed on the tree? O pity my anguish and say, 'twas for thee. Is that the feeling of your heart, the desire of your soul, the very echo of your breast? There is salvation in Israel for you. You never shall perish if Jesus can save. Hearken to his sweet and blessed words. Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This made Paul cry out, sweetly rejoice and sing. This is a faithful saying. Troubled, burdened, sin-plagued, law-cursed, devil-hunted sinner. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Oh, that the blessed Spirit would work faith in your hearts to believe it. Worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. There must be a chief one. Although I will venture to say there is not one here, really, truly, and painfully taught of God, who does not feel the chief. There are no little sinners going to heaven. None are too great for his righteousness to justify and blood to cleanse. Hast thou an arm like God, or canst thou thunder with a voice like him? God will not deceive us. He says, I will send them a Saviour and a great one. What will he do? Help them out a bit? He shall deliver them. What made the angels sing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill towards men"? What goodwill would it have been to you or me unless it could reach the worst, the vilest, and the farthest off? You may say, with terror I read my sin's heavy score. The numbers exceed the sand on the shore. But as I said just now, your trembling brings you to God with tears in your eyes, with rope around your neck in feeling, crying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Sinners are high in his esteem, and sinners highly value him. Let not your heart be troubled on account of the greatness of your sins or the numbers of them. For it is declared, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." No limit as to how many or how great. I need not run up and down God's word to show you the richness, freeness, and fullness of his grace and mercy to poor troubled sinners. How the word shines with saved sinners. It sparkles with what Christ's merit, hands, power, and grace can do. Let not your heart be troubled. The greater your sins are, the more need of a Saviour. Who is it that wants to be washed? Those that are dirty. Who is it that wants a covering? Those that are naked. Who is it that needs to be warm? Those that are cold. The whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. So 'tis the sick man, not the healthy, needs the good physician's care. Come needy, come guilty, come loathsome and bare. You can't come too filthy, come just as you are. I know this. I have gone to God again and again, in such a pickle and plight, to speak plainly, with such shame, blushing, and confusion in my soul, and have fallen at his feet, crying, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my iniquities." Glory, honour, and praise be to his matchless name, his love, compassion, and pity. His mercy has dropped into my heart, and I have got off my knees feeling, "There is no God like unto mine." Had I 1,000 souls, I would venture them all upon him and tell him the whole matter. He knows where to get honour. He knows how to endear himself. Let him pardon your sins and say to you, "Son, daughter, thy sins, though many, are all forgiven thee. See how you would feel." Oh, say you, "I would call upon heaven, earth, and everything to praise his name." You are the man that will do so. This is how he gets himself a name and praise and endears himself to the heart. Who followed him about when he was on earth? There was the poor wretch Magdalene. She could not leave him. He had saved her soul from a burning pit. So she followed him and ministered to him as long as he was upon earth. Let not your heart be troubled that you will not end well. You will end well if you are brought to cry to God and to pour out your soul to the Most High. If you know what it is to melt on account of your sins, God will lift you out of the dust one of these days and will set you among princes. I have no doubt some before God are saying, I would not mind how deep I went into trouble. You do not know what you say. You would not get comfort out of your trouble. If God has made you right, there is such an earnest desire in your soul to be right that you are willing to go through anything so that you may come out right at last. That it is, say you, poor anxious soul, you will go to heaven, you will not miss, your beginning is right, you will end right. Hearken, the meek he will guide in judgment, and the meek he will teach his way. You say to God, I want to be right, to have a right religion, and to die well. Let not your heart be troubled. As sure as God liveth, there is a good thing in your heart towards the Lord God of Israel. You will come to your grave in peace. Your fear is, I have never been deep enough, but you have had as much trouble as you can bear. You could not say, I am right, I shall go to heaven. God will look after me if I look after him. No, say you, I am so troubled, fearing I have not begun right. When reading at times of the depths of trouble some went into, how the thunder of Sinai pealed in their conscience, or how they were struck down by this or that sermon, all my religion goes out at once, and I think I know nothing. What does that do? It makes me miserable, say you. I think I would not mind going into their trouble. They found no sweetness in their trouble. It is when we are brought out we can sing. I'm afraid I do not know what a law work is, say you. Therefore I shall not know the blessedness of the gospel. This is a law work. By the law is the knowledge of sin. Do you know what sin is? Yes, say you. I know it is an evil and bitter thing to sin against God. It has brought me to cry out, have mercy upon me, O Lord. Has it stopped your mouth? Yes, it has, say you. Poor thing, you have had a law work. For to convince and to condemn is all the law can do. It has convinced you that you are a sinner, and it has condemned you as such. Yes, it has, say you. You have had a law work. Paul says, measuring yourselves by yourselves is not wise. We are to measure by the word of God. That is the measuring line. If your religion measures according to that, it is a right measure. Every mouth must be stopped, and all the world become guilty before God. I will venture to say that all in this chapel have not felt that. They will say, we all are sinners. Has your mouth ever been stopped before God on account of your sin? I cannot say it has, say some. I hope I shall be better. God is merciful, kind, and loving. So if we do our best, we shall be all right. Some may say, I am not so religious as I ought to be. I am not so prayerful or particular as some are. Sometimes in the way of business, I tell a fib, that is a lie. But God is merciful, and I trust I shall be better someday. Notwithstanding these things I do, I have got an honest heart. I mean to do well. Poor creature, Jesus Christ is not much to you. Now, honestly say if you would part with anything for him. Are there not things that you esteem, desire, and want to have more than Jesus Christ? Yes, say you, there are. But as nobody knows who I am, I can say it is true, although it hits me hard. I wish it would send you home saying, what a sinner I am, instead of saying, what a good sermon it was. But here are some who are going to heaven that have a thousand fears whether they should get there, and who are troubled for fear they should miss it, and can say, sir, that is not my case. I am so troubled, for I fear I shall not get what I want, and for fear I've not been deep enough. At times I say, Lord, plunge me into the ditch. Let my sins tear me to pieces. As I said before, you do not know what you ask for. You would not find comfort in all the trouble you might pass through. It is not your sins tormenting and teasing you will bring you to say, mine is a right religion. I know that ye want to be right, and that the real matter of fact is you think, if I went further into trouble, then I should see my way plainer. No, you would not see your way plainer then. I want to encourage you, if you are really troubled for fear yours is not a right religion, and your cry is, Lord, make me right and keep me right. You have begun right. Perhaps you may have plenty of trouble before you get to the end of your journey. Oh, do not build me up in a false confidence, say you. God forbid. In the case of Jeroboam's son, we do not read that he sighed and cried like David did, that he was troubled and distressed like Manasseh was, or that he was plunged into the ditch like Job. But the Holy Ghost says, there is a good thing in his heart towards the Lord God of Israel. There is a good thing in your heart towards God. You desire to please him and to be found in wisdom's ways, which are ways of pleasantness and paths of peace. That is really what you want. It is indeed, say you. That is a good thing towards the Lord God of Israel. I am not afraid that when death is about to close your eyes, you will say, Koval was a liar and his speech nothing worth. When Mary saluted Elizabeth, she said, As soon as thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leapt in my womb for joy. What is said of John? He was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. He had not had much trouble. You see that developing itself in after days. Let not your heart be troubled. There was a certain man among the publicans named Zacchaeus. He was rich, and he desired to see Jesus, who he was. He climbed into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. Jesus said to him, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." And he came down and received him joyfully. He said, "Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." Jesus said unto him, "This day is salvation come to this house." I dare say he found plenty of trouble afterwards. When Paul went by the riverside where prayer was wont to be made, a certain woman was there named Lydia, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken by Paul. She had an ear to hear, a heart to feel, and love towards God's truth. Do you think she went to heaven? Yes, I'm sure about that, say you. Is your heart open to receive the truth in love? Does it not soften, revive, and comfort your heart at times so that you feel, "I would sooner be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of ungodliness"? That is true, say you. You will sing with Lydia then. You have the same religion as she had. Have not God's servants and his truth a place in your heart? Say you, I can say at times, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth." I do not believe any can say this but those that are bound for heaven. Say you, I can say peace be unto them and prosperity too. Let not your heart be troubled. You may depend upon this, the devil will trouble you because he is damned and you are saved. He will torment you with a malicious joy. Another thing troubles God's people. It troubles me to this day, although I have been seeking the things of God for 50 years. It is this: when I would do good, evil is present with me, so that I cannot do the things that I would. At times it makes me cry out, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" This also troubles me. The flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, so that I cannot do the things that I would, from week to week, and month to month. Only God only knows the tears that fall from my eyes, because I cannot be what I would be. What would you be? Lord, I would be holy, but sin is ever present with me. when I would offer a sacrifice to God like Abraham did, draw near to him in prayer or praise, then how the birds come down. Oh, the vain, sinful, evil thoughts, the carnality and devilism that will work in my poor heart. Good God, do something for me and in me. Let not your heart be troubled. Why not? Because they that have no changes fear not God. If you were all flesh, there would be no warfare. What will you see in the Shulamite, as it were a company of two armies? If you were not a Shulamite, a saved soul, a child of God, you would not cry out with Jeremiah, "My soul is weary because of murderers." Let not your heart be troubled. It is only for a little while. But my friends, I cannot help being troubled. Although again and again I suck sweetness out of these bitters, thinking, if I were all flesh, I should not grieve and mourn as I do. My soul, the days of your mourning will soon be ended. Then you will see God as he is. Then I thank God and take courage. Be not troubled as though some strange thing had happened unto you, says the apostle, but we are. I believe that, notwithstanding all my struggling, striving, and praying to be just right, and never to sin in thought, word, or deed, I shall die a sinner before God, although a repenting one I trust, and find mercy at last. Let not your heart be troubled. Your flesh will never get any better. Oh, say you, that is miserable comfort. You will find your flesh to be worse than you thought it was. In our flesh dwells no good thing. You will never get good out of it. Let not your heart be troubled, fearing that sin will beat you or that it will prevail. Grace shall reign. Sin shall not have dominion. It will rebel and kick. It will torment and tease you. But more are they that are for you than all that can be against you. I often think if it could beat anybody, it would beat me. But grace will not let it. None but God knows how I cry and lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence cometh my help? I cry to the Lord in my trouble, and blessings, honour and glory be to his name. Hither by his help I'm come. Do not be troubled, because when you would do good, evil is present with you. You will find that two armies are within you, and the warfare will go on till the end of your days. Let not your heart be troubled, because your flesh is just as bad as it was 10, 15, or 20 years ago. Let not your heart be troubled on account of the temporal difficulties and trials into which you may be brought. Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. I have known what it is to be in business and to be troubled about how things will be when business falls off. What trouble some of you may have, thinking I may not be able to pay my way or educate my children and find them food and raiment. Your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things. Therefore, Peter says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. At times when you have been so troubled that you could not sleep for a great part of the night, when you have got up in the morning, you have dropped on your knees at your bedside, and God has taken the trouble off you for an hour. What a relief it has been. Did you ever feel that? Yes, I have, say you. Therefore, says the psalmist, cast your burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will see to you. All our care or trouble never makes one hair white or black. It is God's care that sustains us. I have known what it is to walk about and pity myself. I will tell you what that does. It sets me fretting against God. I rebel and kick and think how hardly I am dealt with. I am jealous for God's honour, but he does not seem to care for his honour. When God comes and drops his pity into my heart, then I feel, what a good and kind God, to look after such a poor nothing as I am. Then I lose all my trouble. God has got it. It is his pity dropping in my heart takes the trouble off my shoulders. If you look into God's blessed word and into the experience of his saints, you will see that God has been a very present help to them in times of trouble. You will find when they have passed through the waters, God has been with them. Therefore, you find this to be true, that your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. So, let not your heart be troubled. You will find when you come to a pinch, so to speak, God will come in and make crooked things straight and the rough places plain. But we must leave it for the present. Amen. John, will you come and give out the last hymn? Close, please.
Notices are as follows. There will be a reading service this evening, and on Wednesday, Mr. Javis Rupp will preach to us at 7 o'clock. And next Lord's Day, Mr. Jonathan Buss will preach at 10:30 and 6:30 and administer the Lord's Supper. Shall we close this morning's service by singing hymn 232, 232. 232nd hymn. Be gone, unbelief, my Saviour is near, and for my relief will surely appear. By prayer let me wrestle, and he will perform. With Christ in the vessel, I smile at the storm. His love in time past forbids me to think, he'll leave me at last in trouble to sink. Each sweet Ebenezer I have in review confirms his good pleasure to help me quite through. Hymn number 232. Dear kind and gracious God, we do pray thy blessing upon the service this morning. Lord, do follow with thy blessing. Grant that meditation upon what we have heard. Lord, oh, do help us to believe. Oh, as one said, oh, could I but believe, then all would easy be. I would but cannot, Lord, relieve. My help must come from thee. Lord, do help us to look to thee alone. Oh, grant more faith, more grace. So, Lord, do be with us now as we part. We pray thy blessing upon each one gathered. Lord, thou knowest the needs of each one. And, Lord, any listening in too. Lord, are those who listen in. And Lord, we know not who they are, where they are. But, Lord, thou knowest, and we pray for them. Lord, be with each one. Lord, do come up with us again this evening. Lord, do grant thy help. Help our deacon in reading. Lord, do bless the word. May it prove to be, Lord, oh, that this day those reading services are ordered by thee. Lord, may there be the blessing attending it. Lord, thou dost use reading services from time to time. We pray today may be a day when thou wilt so use them in this place. Lord, do grant us real worship. We pray for thy servants up and down the land. Lord, do help them. Give them that word to take to the people. Lord, may it be a day when thou wilt work amongst the churches. So, Lord, be with us as we part. Oh, forgive our every sin. Lord, we pray for a deacon unable to be with us. Lord, do carry on, Lord, the healing we pray. Lord, we thank thee for that healing thus far. We pray, Lord, that thou continue. May he again soon be able to gather again with us. Lord, be with him. Oh, and do grant thy blessing upon him, we pray. Do be with us now as we part. We ask it for Jesus Christ's sake. And now, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.